I don't know if I'm going to get through this sermon. I guess that's not the way that many sermons start, but it's true. You may have noticed that I haven't preached up here for over a year. Many of you know that's because I've been struggling with anxiety, particularly the anxiety of standing in front of people. It's been a year filled with confusion and frustration and often exhaustion. In short, weakness. It's also been a year where these verses of Isaiah 40 have become even more precious to me than they already were. They're a purple passage, well-known, well-loved, plastered on fridge magnets and calendars. My growing love for the truths of these verses is a little ironic. This is the passage I was meant to be preaching on the 5th of January this year. Instead, that was the first sermon that I couldn't get up and do it. You may have been here when Charlie led us through a kind of giant Bible study on these verses. I hope what I would have said back then would have been faithful, true, and useful. But I think I understand the reality of these verses more now than I did a year ago, which is why we're back in Isaiah 40 and I'm back here. If you've closed your Bibles, do open them back up to page 726 and have a look at verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here's the question for our time together. What on earth do we make of that promise? I know I'm not the only one to have had a hard time over the last year. One of the privileges of suffering is that others feel like they can share their own suffering with you. A number of you in this room have shared your suffering with me, whether it's anxiety or something else, and I am deeply grateful for that. Those stories, yours and mine, leave us asking, what does it mean for the Lord to renew our strength? What does soaring on wings like eagles actually look like? We can feel pretty weary, and yet we're meant to run. I feel weak and faint, and yet I'm meant to carry on walking. Is this promise worth anything? There are, of course, various options as to what to do with that, to understand it. Maybe we say it's just hyperbole, that it's there for effect, not to be taken seriously. Well, that's tempting, perhaps, but it doesn't make sense of the context of Isaiah 40. You may remember, turn back one page to the beginning of Isaiah 40, and it starts with an amazing statement. It's a complete narrative shift from the previous chapter. And the focus moves from Isaiah's own time to 100 years later. The people of God were in exile in Babylon because of their sin. And then God's voice, as if out of nowhere, breaks in. So look at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We're not going to explore the whole chapter, but the chapter is a word of comfort, God's word of certain comfort. That's our first big point, God's word of certain comfort. It's a word of comfort from a God whose word endures forever. Look at verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. It's a word of comfort from a God who has the power to achieve what his word says and the tenderness to make sure that it happens. It's verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. And he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. It's the word of an incomparable creator. So over the page, verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? He's an incomparable creator. So we can't just say it's hyperbole. God's word stands without fail. He has the power and the will to make it happen. And there's no one who can compare or compete with him. It is God's word of certain comfort. And so verse 31 is a real promise. Now we have to do the hard work to work out what it means for us today, which is why we open up our Bibles in our services, our life groups, as we chat. We can hold God to the promise of his word. But let's make sure that we're holding him to the promises that he actually makes. Nothing is more damaging to our faith than feeling as if a promise has been broken. We know that's true for life in general. It's definitely true with God. But God can't and won't break a promise. And he loves us to hold him to his promises, which is what we'll be doing in here on Tuesday night at our prayer gathering. We'll be holding God to his promises. So let's look at verses 27 to 31 to see God's promise to the weak. Have a look at verse 27. Even after the overwhelming evidence and logic of verses 1 to 26, it seems as if Israel, God's people, were complaining. And you can understand why to some extent. They were there in Babylon, seemingly under the power of foreign gods. No access to the temple to deal with their sins. And their situation doesn't look as if it's going to change. And yet God has said comfort, verse 1. And so that should be enough. Their way is not hidden from the Lord. But in his grace, God reminds them who he actually is. Verse 28. As a creator, he does not get tired. He can keep all of his promises because he doesn't get tired. And so verse 29, as the unwearied one, the untired one, he is the source of all strength for the weary and power for the weak. And I think that that is the key to understanding the whole thing. It's kind of the gateway to the promise. The promise is for those who know they are weak and weary and need this strength and power from the outside. We need to sort of self-identify as the weak. This is God's promise to the weak. Now, if you've had the sort of few years that I've had, and again, I know that I'm not alone at all, then it doesn't feel too hard to believe that you need God's strength and God's power. But verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. That is the surprise. The model of strength and power, they grow tired and weary. They stumble and they fall, and we know it's true. We can't just keep going indefinitely, can we? Time catches up with us, and we do grow older, and the vigour of youth fades. Think of the athlete who's hung on 1 year too long and is slower than the good old days. Even when we are young, we get tired. I know that might be news to some of us, but it's true. And if you don't rest and admit the sort of limits of being a created being, it will catch up with you. You may be able to do more than others, but you need to recognize that you're not God. Verse 28, who does not grow weary. It's always helpful, isn't it, to know your role in a particular relationship. Are you the conductor or the trumpeter? Are you the student or the teacher? One of the things when I did when I returned from having 2 months off to help with my anxiety earlier this year was to listen to a song of these verses at the end of my quiet time each morning. It's a children's song by Slugs and Bugs, but I found it so incredibly helpful. It reminded me of who I am and who God is. I need to get that the right way round. I don't have to be the strong one in that relationship. I am the weak one, and that is okay. Starting the day off knowing that my own weakness didn't somehow rob God of his strength was so helpful. God's unending power is not sapped by my weakness. And so finally, we get back to verse 31. The promise is, though, is for, for those who hope in the Lord. Now, I haven't got time to unpack all of that meaning, but hoping in the Lord is trusting that God has done and is doing what he has promised, and not trying to sort of do that for him as if he's unable or unwilling. For the people in exile, back when this was first written to them, that meant that knowing that he had dealt with their sins, verse 2, and he would bring them back through the wilderness, verse 9. They didn't have to sort of arm themselves and escape or despair and give up. For us, it's trusting that the Lord has dealt with our sins on the cross and will bring us through the wilderness of this life to our eternal home. We don't have to sort of wipe out our own sins by striving or live as if this life is the be-all and the end-all. For me, the last year has sort of strengthened my certainty that my weakness is no barrier to God bringing me through that wilderness. God makes wonderful promises to the weak. In contrast to the young men who stumble and fall, verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? Soaring on wings like eagles. We need to put ourselves back into a world without aeroplanes and drones and satellite images. Imagine the wonder of flying above it all, out of danger, out of reach, powerful, untouchable, safe. That's the sort of image that we're meant to get from verse 31. It's not your sort of Saturday morning run. It's running from trouble and it not catching up with you. It's walking and being able to make it to the destination without a motor to sort of fall back on. Now, the promises, both for now and for the future, I think it's a bit like an orphan who has a massive fortune to inherit when they hit 18. They can't touch it until later. But if it's set up properly, the child's expenses will be paid for out of their income, out of the income. So it's kind of got a now focus. But when 18 comes, well, you're in the money, aren't you? That's the future bit. The future aspect here is the new creation. It's a promise for the new creation. On the day that the Lord returns and brings about the new creation, those who are hoping in him will genuinely never feel tired again or weary. Sin and its consequences will have been dealt with. We will work, but we will not toil. Our new resurrection bodies will be of an indestructible quality. We will not grow older. We will run, but not grow weary. And we will walk and not be faint. In deep suffering and the slow drag of aging, that is a significant promise to hold on to, isn't it? One that we should pray for the Lord to bring to completion soon. Come, Lord Jesus, come should be on our lips and in our hearts often, shouldn't it? But it's not just future-focused. Let's encourage one another with stories of how the Lord is sustaining us in daily life. I can tell you from experience that these words are true. Whilst it has been hard, it has been possible to keep going in weakness, in weariness, day by day. I have been sort of physically and emotionally and spiritually tired, but because of this cast iron promise, I've been able to keep going in the Lord's strength. It's not a sort of promise in a simplistic sense that everything will be fine. It's not that at all. But it is one about putting one foot in front of the other. Wonderfully, he uses people to help that. And many of those people for me over the last year are in this room, help to carry loads, to give words of encouragement, to point the way forward when it seems impossible, to point to extra help, like the counselling that I've had over the last year. That is why he gives us each other. Some of us might be struggling at the moment, and some won't be. If you are struggling, then lean on the Lord and this wonderful promise of many like it, and take the help from his people. If you're not struggling at the moment, then still lean on the Lord and this promise, and offer that help to others. That is why it's so good and so important to know the people in your life group, or to have real conversations with people after the service on a Sunday. We need each other. We need to remind one another that God has made this wonderful promise to the weak. And so it is okay to be weak. In fact, it's positively good, isn't it? To know our own weakness. For it's then that we can claim this promise of our strong and our unwearying God. So, we have had God's word of certain comfort tonight. A promise to the weak. Let me pray that we will hold on to that. Our Father, we praise you that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We pray, our Lord, that knowing that to be a certain promise, we would trust in you. We pray we would be people who know our own weakness and therefore fall back on your strength. And we pray that we would be a church family who help one another in weakness to look to you and your promises. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.